to live shows. Concerts, music, okay? I love live shows. I mean, the listening to them on your computer or your iPod, your MP3 player, that's nice. But there are groups and artists that when you go see them live, you're just like, wow, that's better than the recorded studio track, right? Yeah, so recently, back in December, my family and I went to go see the Christian artist Toby Mac. And so we went to the Santander Center, and what happens is if you are familiar with concert going, you'll see first that your ticket has the headliner right on top in big, bold letters, and then it says with. And so that's like the opening artist or the opening bands. And so if you pay attention in the arena or wherever you are, you'll see that the opening artist, it's not as packed. Right? So, you know, they're trying to rev up the crowd, and they're saying, can't you just wait for Toby Mac to come out? And, like, you hear 13,000 screaming girls, yay! And then when the lights go down, and then Toby Mac jumps on the stage, or any headlining act, when the lights come up, you see that arena is packed. Because why? They came to see the headliner. They came to see that artist. But it was the opening acts that were the ones that got the audience prepared for what was to come. And so as we continue in our series, The Word, the time that we want to take today is we want to ask the question, who are you? And so when we ask that question, what we want to do is we want to look at it in the context of our scripture today. Because John the Baptist is going to be asked, who are you? And so if you remember from last Sunday, we took time in John chapter 1, and we said that Jesus is the one and only, that he is full of grace that has saved us, and he is full of truth that holds us together. If you're following along your outlines this morning, and the outlines are in the church bulletin today, is this, in the question of who are you, it is this. We are the opening act to the main event. We are the opening act to the main event. We're going to see here in our scripture, but I want to read it to you right now. In John chapter 1, verse 26, this is John speaking. He says, I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. And see, when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, for some of us, and I'm guilty of this as well, I want to be the center. I want to be the headliner of sharing the good news. It's almost like we have a gospel selfie going on. If you're not familiar with what a selfie is when you take your camera phone, click, 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 you know, that's what a selfie is. And sometimes we make the gospel about us. But what we can realize today, and as we've learned throughout our series here in John, is that Jesus Christ is the true light. And because he is the true light, those of us who are his followers, we are reflection. We are a mirror of his light. And that changes everything because we see that our hope is in Jesus and not in us. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to set up our passage of scripture today, and then we're going to pray together, and then we're going to break down our verses today, and then we want to look at what it means for us in our everyday lives. So what's happening here in John chapter 1 today is that John is being questioned by the religious leaders called Pharisees, and they were the most important division in Judaism. They were spiritual fathers, if you want to call it. And what John was doing in our passage today is he is declaring his mission in the world. And this happened in a place called Bethsaida, where John was baptizing. So Nathan, if you could show that map there, because it's going to say Bethany in verse 28 of what we're looking at. But Bethany that I'm speaking of right now is the one next to Jerusalem. And Bethsaida is in the wilderness, in the desert area, and they say it was about 25 miles east of Nazareth, as you can see that. And actually, Bethsaida means house of crossing. And so what we remember from our series in John is John was like the original survivor man. He was a wilderness guy, and people were coming to see him. So let's take our Bibles and take a look at John chapter 1. Today we're going to look at verses 19 through 28. John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. And in beginning in verse 19, it says this. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. But they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. And we're going to get to those names in just a moment. And finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And this all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let's pray together. Father God, we're so grateful that you are a God who is faithful. God, you're a God who, even in the midst of ice and snow and no electricity, you are still among us. God, we come to you today, and we just see a picture of families dedicating their children to the Lord. Father, we do thank you for that. We pray for the Rigobaldis as well, that they would be parents who raise their children in the ways of you, that they would be a God-centered family like we prayed for all the others. Father, we pray for those here in our congregation, our community of faith, who continue to struggle, who continue to wonder when they may see light. Father, I pray that today that they would hear your truth today, that they would see that hope is found in you. Father, that we would lay down the very things that are in the way of showing your true greatness in our lives. So, Father, these are your words you've given to us today. You have our permission to move us, to change us, and to shape us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. So again, what we see here this morning is that John the Baptist is a witness to Jesus' identity. And what he says very confidently, he says, I'm not the Messiah. Again, we're going to get to that word in just a moment. But that's going to take us to next week, because Jesus is going to be revealed to this crowd. And so this is what we're going to see in 2 weeks happen over a 2-day period. And so as we look at these verses together, verses 19 and 20 talk about, once again, the Pharisees asking John these questions. Now, the Pharisees were in charge of the nation's spiritual welfare, so they had a huge responsibility. And they believed, now, I want you to hear this, the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, believed this about Messiah. They believed that he would come and bring peace on earth, and that he would judge the wicked and reward the righteous in the age to come. Sound familiar? And so they began questioning him because there were several reasons. One, they wanted to investigate John's new way of preaching. Like, this is something that is unfamiliar to us. This is new territory. And they were going to also see if he was qualified to be a prophet. And if you remember, a prophet, it was one who spoke for God. And also, John was growing in popularity, and he was growing in influence, and they wanted to know why. And if you remember from our Advent series back in December, John is the son of Zacharias. If you remember, Zacharias is a priest. He was the one who didn't believe that he was going to be a father. And God made him quiet for a long time. And so Jewish tradition says that the son would take the role also of the father. So imagine these religious leaders coming and saying, what you're doing, John, is not typical of what we know. And this isn't what a typical Jewish priest would do. And so if I were John, I would say, okay, well, here's the deal then, guys. I'll go get the game Guess Who. You remember that game where you put the little faces up there and you're like, well, do you have a bald head or are you round or are you whatever? And so John's probably like, if you want to do this game of Guess Who, we can do it, but I already told you who I am. But I'll play along if you'd like. And so he goes on to answer these questions, which were no, by the way, if you weren't paying attention just a few moments ago. But here's what we understand. In your outline, Messiah is this. Messiah is the one chosen, God's chosen one, above all other people. Now, what I want to say is that God chooses us to do his work in the world. But what God did with Messiah, he was his own son. You see, you and I, God challenges us and asks us to be a part of things that he's doing in this world. But it was Messiah who came and died for the sins of humankind. And so that's what we see as Messiah. The second is Elijah. The Jews believed that Elijah, who is an Old Testament prophet in the Bible, that he would come before Messiah. You see, John and Elijah lived similarly. They were kind of rough around the edges. They were wilderness guys, but they also were men who confronted evil leaders and rulers, confronting the nation of Israel. But then he was asked about this, the prophet. This goes back to Moses in the Old Testament as well. And he spoke of this prophet. And what Moses said was this, was that there is one who is coming who will speak God's very words. A prophet was one who spoke for God, but this was going to be God speaking, him among us, God in the flesh. And so in your outline, you'll see there's some scripture references. I want to encourage you to look at those this week for those words, and you can see in scripture where they line up with these questions that John was asked. Now, once again, the Pharisees continued to press the issue by asking, who are you? So they're getting down, they're clicking on the game, right? And they're down to about four or five. But here's what we understand. John had some other thoughts. Because the religious leaders wanted to know who John was, and John wanted them to know who Jesus was. That's what's going on here. And what John is telling them is that my purpose here on this earth is to point you to Christ so that you'll follow him. That's why he was out in the wilderness doing what he was doing. He says, I am not the main, I'm not the headliner, excuse me. I'm the opening act. If you don't get that yet, guys, I can't help you. But here's why I am here. In verse 22, they ask the question again, who are you then? If you're not these three, then who are you? Because for us, as Pharisees, we have to go report back to our bosses. So they were doing some R&D, and they had to go back to the Sanhedrin. That was their bosses, and the Sanhedrin was the official high court of the Jews. And they wanted to make sure that John was not a false prophet. They took that very seriously, and they didn't want a fake going on promoting God. In verse 23, I love what John says here. He finally answers, I'm just a voice. I'm the opening act. That's all I am. I am just a voice. And John was letting them know why he was there doing what he was doing. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, where it says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Once again, the Pharisees wanted to know who John was, and John wanted the Pharisees to know who Jesus was. That's what's playing out here. John is saying, even though I came before God, I am not him. It's not me. And so what he is letting them know is that the very greatness of God is going to be in our midst. That's what's happening. See, for you and I in our own lives, we have to make the decision to allow God's greatness to be shown through us as a follower of Jesus. Because I know for me, and for those of us who have said yes to a personal relationship with Christ, we know that it is God who changed our hearts and he changed our lives. And it's he that we live for. And I don't know about you, but I realized that I couldn't do this life on my own. I realized that Jesus just wasn't for fixing my problems, but what it was is that he gave me eternal salvation and he gives me a godly perspective when life comes at me really hard each and every day. And what I can do is I can say, and you can say, we're a voice. We're going to let the world know by how we live and the things that we say that there's hope found in Jesus Christ. You know, even with today, there was four families who said, we're dedicating our children to God. It was beautifully explained of how that all plays out. And so you may be thinking today, well, I didn't dedicate any kids. Yeah, but you know what? You may be asked in your life, why do you live a certain way? Why do you say yes to church stuff and no to other things? Why do you choose to choose integrity over what's easy? Why do you choose a life of honesty and being modest? Why is it that you say no to certain parties that are going on at school or hanging out with a specific group of peers? Because you and I can say that we follow Jesus and that we're a voice for him in this world. And so we see as we continue on in verses 24 through 27 that evidently we see in this passage that they weren't getting anywhere by asking him questions. So they move on to the topic of baptism. And what Jewish law states about baptism, it's a ritual purification. Okay, so it's a cleansing. It's an act. Are you with me there? Okay, so what would happen is anyone outside of the Jewish culture who decided to convert to Judaism, they would typically baptize themselves in water and they would be considered clean. Okay? And so the reason why I bring this up is because the religious leaders wanted to know, whose authority are you doing this under? That was important. Who's your boss? And John, what he was doing is he was baptizing under Christ's great authority. But what we need to remember at this point now is that this was a symbolic act that John was doing. And what John said is that, listen, I baptize with water, but here's the thing. Jesus is among us. Messiah is here. And even if he was to step out right now, you probably wouldn't recognize him. But see, God's timing is so perfect in that it's not until next Sunday where we see that John sees Jesus. And he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It wasn't time for Christ to be revealed, but he was among them. They just wouldn't know who he was. I remember I was asked to speak at a chapel service for a school, a Christian school. And so I went a little bit early, and I'm sitting there towards the back, and I was just looking at my notes for the last few moments before I went up and spoke. And a student came to me and said, that's my seat. I said, okay. So I stood up like so the student could get by. He's like, no, you're in my seat. I was like, are you really going to go there? But I got up, didn't say anything, and I went and sat somewhere else. And about 5 minutes later, they said, we'd like to welcome Pastor Jeff Hill, who's going to speak, and they're all clapping, and I get up there, and I look right at him. I said, yes, I am Jeff Hill. I'm here to speak today. So glad. And all he was doing was this. Right down. I'm like, that's right, boy. I mean, student. And but he didn't know who I was. I was right there in front of his very eyes, and he didn't know who I was until he was told, that this is the guy who's going to speak to us today. And this is what John is saying. If Messiah was right here in front of you, you probably wouldn't even know. But here's what's beautiful. Once again, I want to reemphasize this, is that what John was doing was under Christ's great authority. See, as a follower of Jesus, we have his spirit in us. We have his power to live our lives for his greatness. We can do that. The same authority that John had, that's the same authority we have, because Jesus said, it's all of heaven and earth has been given to me. And we can live in that truth today. But what is beautiful in our story is that what God did is that God made a way back to himself through his son. All the questions that were being asked, who are you? What direction do we go? Who do you answer to? And John is saying, listen, here's the deal. Messiah is going to make peace between God and man. He's going to reconcile things. He's going to change things. And how he did it was this. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. Love not in the ooh, feely Valentine's Day, not knocking that, ladies, but in action. He showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. John was doing a symbolic act of baptism, but he said there's one coming Messiah who will truly forgive sins. Because it was believed that only God could forgive sins. Well, God was coming, and he was among them. And what he did was that God chose Jesus above all. That's what he did. And because of God's great love for humankind, Jesus took on sin and death on a cross. But when he said it was finished, we were able to have relationship with God again. You see, what John was showing here for us was it was about humility. And it was about surrender. That's what it was about. Because John continued on to say, listen, if I was even to take the sandals of the master's feet and untie them? I'm not even worthy to do that. That was something a servant did in those days and times. But he said, I'm not even worthy to do that. And he showed humility. He said, I am the opening act. I'm not the main event. You see, what we learn in Scripture in Philippians chapter 2 is that even Jesus himself showed us the greatest picture of humility when he took upon death, and death on a cross. And when you and I begin to understand who Jesus really is and what he's done for us, that he has died for sinners just like you and I, then what happens is that my pride and our pride dies. It fades away. And we're not as important. We're not the selfie gospel. We're the opening act to the main event. So in these verses, John is reminding us once again, I'm a voice. I'm not who you think I am, because the one that is coming is here. And so what I want to do for the next few moments together is what that means for you and I in the everyday. And so I want to take the next few moments together and talk about the voice, not the one that's with Blake Shelton, but the voice that we're speaking of here in Scripture. So in your outline, there's two things I want to share with you. The first is we want to speak up. We want to speak up. As followers of Christ, our voice speaks truth. Because there will be at times people who come to us and ask us those questions. Why do you do what you do? Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you follow this person called Jesus? And what you and I can begin to say to remind us that we are the opening act is we can say, I am not. Okay, so we're going to say that. I am not. You ready? I am not. And what that does, it reminds us is that we are not the headliner. We are not the main event, but we are the opening act. See, once again, is that we recognize that we didn't rescue ourselves. We didn't bring salvation for ourselves. We're not the ones who made all that possible. But here's what we can say, is the truth is I was once dead. I was spiritually dead, but Jesus brought me back to life. And now I live in his truth, and I live in his strength. That same spirit that lives in me lives in you who have made profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And it all begins by humility, surrender, repenting, and believing. But you have to ask yourself, do I really believe in the truth that I speak? I mean, that's what it boils down to. Like, if you think about it, there are many things that we could talk about for hours, aren't there? Our grandkids, sports teams. You know, I'm friends with some of you on Facebook, and there's a lot of stuff that we just talk about, blah, right? But do we really believe in the truth, in the power of Jesus Christ? Maybe for some of us today, it's the simple question of who is Jesus to you? Maybe it's a matter of, for some of us, that we've gotten comfortable with who we are. And because we've gotten comfortable with who we are, we become comfortable in what we do. In other words, you're, as a follower of Jesus, you're a child of the King. You're his ambassador in this world. Your reflection of his light. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. So what I want to challenge you with this week, when we talk about speaking up, is I want you to either think of or write down someone that you know who needs to hear God's truth. Now that may be a neighbor, that may be a friend, it may be a family member, classmate, coworker, whoever it is. And you may be saying, you know, Jeff, that person's sitting right next to me. Well, you don't have to write it down. But what I'm saying is there someone in your life that you know who needs to hear God's truth? And I want to challenge you this week to think about that and say, what would it look like if I actually just spoke to them about who Jesus is to me? The second is this, is that we point out. We point out. You see, not only does our voice speak truth, but our voice also speaks direction, because you may have that conversation with someone, not that they're a project or they're your mission, but it's just in your everyday, that Jesus is a natural part of what you do and what you say. Because there may be individuals who come to you and ask, well, then what direction do I go then? If what you say is true, and if I give up everything that I believe is important to me to follow Jesus, which way then? And what we can remember that Jesus is the headliner is this: I am not, but I know who is. Let's say that together. I am not, but I know who is. And that's how we understand who the main act is, who the main event is, who the headliner is, because we can point him to the person of Jesus Christ. Because I believe in my heart of hearts that Jesus is the way of life, and he's the way, the way of salvation. And the truth is what we do as his ambassadors in this world is we navigate others into the kingdom of God. That's what we do. You know, the picture here that we see of this desert, this wilderness, is a picture of isolation and misery. So how many of you were isolated and feeling miserable with your power out and didn't have a generator? Okay, but I'll tell you this. What was fabulous was that Dom had mentioned about helping each other, and we were able to have two families over. And, you know, imagine, you know, we're in 40-degree weather inside. We don't have any electricity. We don't have heat. And then, hey, why don't you come over? Oh, yeah, we're over. Like, if I got to sleep on the sanctuary floor, I'm doing it. But imagine being that individual to say there's heat and electricity and there's light. You can charge your devices. They're not isolated, and they're not in misery anymore. They've come into a community, a family who will care for them. And that's what God has done for us. We say we're a caring place where God transforms lives. But that's not just a place to allow someone to come in and get warm. That's part of it. But it's a place where we know that there are people who are far away from God, who are isolated and in misery. That may be some of you today. But there's hope that's found in the person of Jesus Christ, because he is the one that changes our hearts and our lives. And just like Jesus was among them when John was speaking to the religious leaders, he is among us here today. That's who our God is. Because not only did he die for the sins of the world, but he rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we preach, and that's why we proclaim what we do here. Because it's only him that can change our hearts. So here's what I want to challenge us with this morning. I challenge you to think of someone. The second is I want to challenge you to have a one-minute moment. Have a one-minute moment. Now, you may be thinking, what is that? Well, let me explain. I'm glad you asked. So our students, we've been going through a series called Good News, How to Bring It Up Without Throwing Up. And so what it is just basically, how do you have spiritual conversations and then bring Jesus into that? And so we have challenged them to have a one-minute moment. It's basically sharing God's story of how your life was transformed in a minute. And you're going, okay, Jeff, my story is really long. No. What I'm saying is if you have some points that you're able to have and to share, then it's just a kickstarter to a spiritual conversation. So in your outline, there's things that ask, what was your life like before Jesus? For me, I did my own thing. And there's a lot that's involved with that, but I wanted nothing. I grew up in church, and I wanted nothing to do with it when I got out of high school. Nothing. And so I just went the opposite. So what was it that brought you to a place of surrender? For me, I realized, like, this is getting really old, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And finally, what is different about your life now because of Jesus? It may be as simple as we've said here before. I quit cursing. That was the first thing that went away. Or I quit being a gossip, or I quit nagging, or I quit, you know, whatever it may be. But those are the three questions that give you an opportunity to have a kickstarter with someone that you know needs to hear God's truth. So what does this all mean for us today? I want to go back to the Toby Mac concert. And in the concert, he did a song called Steal My Show. And the essence of the song says, everything that I have, everything that I am, is yours. Okay? God, I'll be the opening act, and you be the headliner in my life. And if there's anything, any walls or any barriers that are in the way of that happening, take it. Just move it. Remove it. Rip it out. Whatever you have to do, you steal my show. Because it's not mine to begin with. So really what I want to challenge us with and encourage us with Do you want to be an opening act? Or do you want to be the headliner? Do you want to be the main event of your life? Or do you want to allow God to transform your heart and your life and allow Him to take center stage? And if we choose center stage, then we have to understand that that brings distance and separation between us and God. But if we choose to be the opening act, then we can say, you're at the center of it all, in my life, with my family, at my job, whatever it may be. And God, this week with my life, I'm going to speak up, and I'm going to speak your truth. I'm going to point out, and I'm going to point those to the person of Jesus, because I want them to know who you are, and I will get out of the way so that you can have all the spotlight. John says in John 3:30, he says this, he must become greater and I must become less. And I tell the students, and that's okay. He can become greater and we can become less. Because what God is doing, He is looking for an opening act to be a voice in this world. Opening act, headliner. Father, we come to you today. We understand, God, that you are the one who changes hearts. We understand that you are the one who changes lives. And yet there are times, God, when we forget that, when we want to make it about us. God, I want to pray for this community of faith here today. God, that if they feel isolated and in misery, God, that they would look to you, they would call and cry out to you. That they would learn to trust you. And maybe even for some here today, they need to trust you again. For some, it may be to have the passion that they once had when they first came to know you. God, I pray that we would be people who don't see others in our lives as projects or missions, but that we would just, when we see them, when we take time with them, that they would see Jesus first. Father, show us the areas of our lives where we're trying to be the main event. Help us to be the opening act. God, let us be like, as we heard today from John, of a life of humility and surrender. And that's just not a one-time deal, but we would learn to do that each and every day. God, I thank you for the cross, because what an ultimate picture of humility and sacrifice. Father, I pray also for those who have thought about someone that just to take time with, whether it's this week or in the future. I pray that you would give them boldness, that you would remind them that they can be courageous, that your power is in them, that they can rely on you. Father, and also for those here today who are far away from you, that they would see that there is a way, there is a direction, and his name is Jesus. So we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.